You are listening to Awaken the Goddess. Join me, Trinace, as I interview lightworkers who are bringing their gifts to the world for the upliftment of humanity. Listen to their inspiring stories of courage and dedication to follow their hearts and to manifest their dreams.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. I greet you in the love and in the light of the infinite creator. Welcome. Welcome to Awaken the Goddess. It is my great pleasure to announce our guest tonight, Chris McDonald. She is a holistic therapist, yogi, meditation teacher, podcaster, and author. She owns a group online practice called Path to Hope Counseling. She is a 200-hour RYT certified in brain spotting and offers gentle yoga to clients in session and offers private yoga sessions. She specializes in treatment of anxiety, depression, trauma, and grief in young adults. She is the author of Self-Care for the Counselor, and she is here tonight. If you would like to connect with Chris, her website is holisticcounselingpodcast.com. Holistic is with the H. Her private practice is holisticcounselingpodcast.com. All right, thank you. And Chris, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, yes, it is a pleasure. It is a pleasure to finally have you. We had to move some things around.
I know. But life happens, right?
Mm. Yes, thank you for being flexible. So welcome to Awaken the Goddess. Now, Chris, tell us about your book. This seems very, very interesting. And give us some insight to the self-care for the counselors, because we definitely need that today.
More self-care, right? We all need that. Yeah, this, I actually wrote this in 2017 or published in 2017. And I had really had a difficult time. I used to work in the school system and about had a breakdown when I worked there and finally had gotten out and realized I needed to do something different with my self-care. So I've kind of found some routines and some ways to manage it a bit better, manage my anxiety. So that's why I started to write the book, because I felt like a lot of the therapists I knew struggled with self-care as well, because we're real good at taking care of other people. But a lot of us, especially helpers out there, you know what I'm talking about. We can talk the talk, but we don't always walk the walk. So it's really important that we take care of ourselves. So I really felt this. I don't know if it's a calling or what it was, but really wanted to help counselors and therapists to be able to manage their self-care more. So in it, I include all parts and holistic. I'm a holistic therapist, so I include everything in there as far as physical, emotional, spiritual, managing energy, releasing negative energy. Some of these things that aren't talked about a lot, you know, how to manage daily transitions for your mental health, building social supports, asking for help. Sometimes that's a hard thing for helpers to ask for help. And that's also why I offer therapy for therapists too. So, and also becoming a mindful counselor and what that means. So it's kind of a combination of things. And actually right now I'm on the precipice of publishing a workbook to go along with it. So I've been working on that, which has been super fun. So I actually got to, I got to dive back in my book because I wrote this a while ago. I was like, oh yeah, this is pretty good. Okay.
That's amazing. I love it, because you start to see how the book can help so many people in different ways. Definitely.
Absolutely. And I thought a companion guide would be helpful just to help people to really process and reflect and go a little deeper with it too.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, I'd like to go deeper into the energy clearing. What are some of the techniques that you offer for energy clearing? Because everybody can use that.
Absolutely. I have, let me see, this is one of my sacred space. This is white sage, cedar wood. It's called the space purifier. So I use a lot of sprays. And talk to other therapists about that, being able to find a way to clear space. We can't always use smoke like with sage in office spaces, or if you don't want to do that at home. So using the sprays is very helpful. I have black tourmaline. I use one of the crystals that's supposed to help with negative energy. I have different practices I do to clear energy, things like saying to yourself in a session, if you start to feel yourself too much of the negative energy, just saying, not my energy. I let it go in peace, not my energy, and repeating that. So there's lots of different small things that we can do, and use visualization. That's a big one. So being able to stand in mountain pose in yoga and to imagine energy we don't need going through our feet and into the earth, mm-hmm. and letting that go, and then bringing in the white light from the earth or positive energy, whatever you want to call it, coming up through your body and filling your whole body, mind, spirit. So that's another way. So yeah, I have a whole lot, whole arsenal. Yeah,
very good.
Yeah.
You know, today when you said not my energy, that is so important because,
yes,
you know, that can go for anyone, whether they're counselors or not, but definitely counseling, because you're going to be dealing with people who are coming to you when they're having issues or challenges in their life. But for people on an everyday level, they need to be reminded that you cannot. And as a matter of fact, I'm working on my radio show tomorrow, and we're going to be talking about that very same thing.
Nice. I love it. Mm.
Not allowing people to put their energy on you.
It's hard. It really is. Sometimes I have certain people's energies. I don't know if it's their vibration that it hangs out on me. And it's much harder to clear. Sometimes I get Reiki sessions as well, because I don't know what it is, if it's a vibrational thing, but some people it's either a heavier energy and it's harder to let go of, I think.
Yes, definitely. And if you're emotionally attached to a person, that makes it even more difficult.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So we have to constantly be reminding ourselves that that's not your energy. You know, spirit says to me, and this is one of the things I had to learn, because being, you know, empathic and being able to feel other people's energy.
Yes.
Spirit would say, it's like looking through the window, someone's window. You know, it's like walking down the street and you're looking into their window and you're seeing their life. You don't necessarily have anything to do with what's going on inside of that house, but you can see what's going on. So when people bring you their stuff, it's like you're seeing into their life. But you can continue to move on and release that, not hold on to that, and not get tied and caught up into that energy. It's so important that we don't do that. And I find that, I think that's a good visualization. So it reminds me always to do that. Yeah.
And clearing your chakras too is so important, and finding ways to do that. And even with meditation.
Yes. And we do the internal light meditation, which
was
something that Spirit gave to us as well. And it's amazing in so many different ways. But yes, it helps to remove all that lower frequency out of the body in every way, down to every level. So yeah, that's amazing. So Chris, tell me, you know, you're doing all this work with therapists. What seems to be in the time we're living in right now, what seems to be the biggest issues that people are dealing with right now?
It's hard to narrow down, but
there's a
lot out there. And like I said, I think a lot of it too is people want something better for themselves, but they're not always ready to put in the work and struggle with making these changes. I see that a lot with the young adults, and, you know, they're trying to manage adulting and they struggle with making changes. Oh, you mean I have to do something besides come to therapy?
Right. You're supposed to do it for them, right?
Yeah, it's tough.
I think that's the problem across the board, no matter what age people are. They want better, they want more, but putting in the energy, putting in the time, that's where it starts to fall off.
And people believe their excuses, like, I don't have time. We all have the same amount of time, but it's making it a priority. Like, I do yoga and meditation every day, but I make time for it. I figure out my whole is around it. I created my schedule so that I can have these things are important to me, to my overall mental health. And it keeps me centered and sane with all that I do.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Making time, making it a priority. We also do the shadow work that we have. It's an ancient Toltec tradition that's done to clear the lower frequencies that you've brought in through your ancestry, through your DNA. And it takes almost 6 months to just do one round. So you have to be so committed to it, and it has to be done like within a regimented time. And people, you know, you will hear people start it and then they fall off. And it's like, at some point, you're going to have to start doing the work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see the benefits when people are willing to do that and put in the work and do these practices on a regular basis. Because part of what I do as a therapist is teach people how to do these and also talk about consistency, how to make this part of your lifestyle and not as another thing on their to-do list. I think people have to reframe that because a lot of clients will say, I don't have time for that. And it's just another thing on my to-do list. No, we got to reframe this. This is a gift for you. This is a gift to yourself.
Absolutely.
So looking at that another way. Yeah.
Yes, it's a priority because they don't see it as being, but you know what? I think, like you said, after they start doing the work, then they start getting the benefits of it and they realize how important it is to continue to do the work.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
It takes some time, but.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. I see the same thing. Very much so. So tell me what this is that you do, the brain spotting. That sounds very interesting. What is that?
It's a very innovative approach. So it's using actually your eye level. So some people might have heard of EMDR. Which is eye movement. I'm not trained in that. So, but it's similar to that if you've heard of it. So, basically, it's based on the concept that where you look changes how you feel. Mm-hmm. And that if I'm we call it activation. So, if let's say I have a trigger and I'm activated by something, a fight with my husband, let's say. And if I look to my right, I might feel, a little bit more tense. I feel it in my body, I feel more anxiety. But if I look to my left, I might feel a little bit calmer. So we call those, first one is the activation spot. So it's connecting to deeper traumas in the brain or other stressors in the brain. And if I look to my left, that's called a resource spot. So everybody's is different. We all have different brain, we call brain spots. And once we connect with that, it's staying in that discomfort and allowing the brain to process. So it's going to the deeper parts of the brain, the subcortical parts of the brain, which sometimes is preverbal, that we don't always have words for, especially with trauma. It's difficult a lot of times to put some things into words, and it just can process through visuals, through memories. For me, and I talked to David Grandis, who created this, I told him, I go, I feel like this is spiritual and it's connected to the divine somehow, because some of the things that have come up with brain spotting is just, there's no way it's not connected to the divine. It's all I could say with the healing that comes through. And I have people that connect to their higher selves, to ancestors, to people on the other side.
I was definitely,
I get cold chills.
I was going to say to you, that's exactly what the ancient Toltecs teach as well.
Yeah.
Is, and that's in a lot of ancient teachings about the eye movement and which direction your eyes go in.
Which eyes,
absolutely. So that's very interesting that you say that you've been working with it.
Yes.
In that intense level. So when people say they invented something or they came up with something, there's nothing new. We're always bringing something back. It's just in our DNA.
In a different way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's time for that. But yes. Sergio Magaña is an author that has a book in, it's the Caves of Power, actually, that he teaches about the eye movements in there. Yes, it's very intense and it's a lot to it. But yes, I'm very interested in hearing your results with that because, you know, as we continue to move through our awakening process, we start remembering and practicing different things and we all experience something different. So it's
absolutely
very helpful to hear when someone else has already been using that. So you said it's connected to divine. What makes you say that? Because that made me,
I guess it might be my own faith, but I just, things that have come out of sessions, I don't know how it can't be. It's the healing that comes through and people are able to connect. I mean, I had this one client, older client I worked with, and he was able to connect to a trauma from when he was a kid, and he was able to give himself a hug as a to his younger self and be able to help process that trauma and soothe himself. So it's recognizing younger parts too. but he was able to feel the release from this trauma. And his words were, this was the most astounding experience I've ever had. So basically it allows clients to go deeper too. But I feel like there's got to be some divine intervention with this too. It's just the healing that comes through, because the clients will tell me different things. Like I know you mentioned downloads. To me, it's downloads.
Yeah.
Some of the things that comes through.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. So are they in a meditative state when they start to do it? Or do they go into a trance state as they?
It could be because what we're doing. Let me just show you. This is called the pointer. So their eyes might be on this.
Right.
And if that's where their point brain spot is, and they stay there. So they keep their focus on that. So not moving your eye off of one spot. So sometimes they get different visuals that come up too, because you're staying in that. So like a trance state.
Absolutely. Because you're going to go into an alpha state immediately within seconds of focusing on that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it is unreal.
The one that you were studying from for that?
What was that?
Who is the man that you said?
David Grand.
David Grand. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to look.
And they also listen to bilateral music, it's called. Mm-hmm. So it's music that goes from one ear to the other. And what that does, it goes into, helps to go deeper layers of the brain as well. So it's all this music that he created. So they listen to the music while we do this as well.
So. And they're synchronizing the brain.
Yes.
So that it is functioning together. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Both hemispheres at the same time. Yes. Well, yes, I'm so happy to know that people are using the techniques, because these are very ancient techniques, and there's different things you can do with chants and humming and to do the same exact thing. So
interesting.
It's very nice to know that you are having success with these techniques and how, you know, people are responding to them. So you say you do gentle yoga. Now I know there's a lot of different forms of yoga. So tell me about what the types of yoga you use.
Yeah. So it's more slow, mindful yoga. It's really about interoception, which is tuning into the experience. And it's not about physical fitness and getting your heart rate up and, you know, getting abs or anything like that. So it's all about taking a slow approach. So using the breath with movement, but then pausing. So we use what's called the pause. So let's say that I have you inhale, bring your arms up, exhale, arms down. And let's just pause for a moment. Let's notice what comes up for you. Now that was really short, but if we did that for a few times, right? Just noticing what is the sensation you might feel in your arms? What do you notice with your breath? So it's really getting clients to tune in more to their bodies. A lot of the clients I see get stuck in their heads. They live from the neck up. So it's really difficult for them to connect with their bodies because they're used to overthinking and being in that cognitive space. So it really helps to be able to go more into the body and develop the interoception, which is, research shows, is connected to emotional regulation. So the more we know what's going inside our body, what's happening, the more that we know what to do to be able to help ourselves. Because interoception goes deeper than that too. So it's, you know, once we know what's going on too, we can also get, like, example for hungry. That's interoception. If we know our hunger signals, we can get something to eat, right? Or if we're thirsty. So those are the basic things. But then knowing that, okay, I notice in my body, I feel this sensation. So this is how I feel when I'm anxious. That's the other thing. Then maybe I need to do some breathing. So it's helping them to take care of themselves as well.
Become more conscious.
Yeah, more conscious. Yep.
Yes. Wow. That's amazing. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I think you're doing
it. Oh, thank you.
You're definitely explaining it well. So I love it.
Yeah. No, I just actually was at a conference. You know what's amazing, Trinise, is I went to the state conference I present on this yoga. I do trauma-informed yoga. And the whole conference was about the mind-body connection. And it was all about integrative modalities and holistic approaches. So this is the way the counseling world is moving, which is phenomenal.
I agree.
I was very excited for that. Because, I mean, we even had one workshop I went to on Reiki. I mean, this is traditional counseling, you know, licensed counselors. It was awesome.
Well, they have to. This is the new wave. Yeah. This is the energy coming in. It's the time.
It is.
It's time for healing. It's time for healing. And we have to begin to integrate the holistic approach to health, as opposed to medicines and drugs and thinking that that is the answer. That hasn't been the answer. It may help people, you know, temporarily, sure. But when we go to the deeper, it's never the answer for the deeper issues.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So when you do your counseling and you say you work with a lot of trauma, depression, what are some of the techniques that you like to use most with people when you work with people with those types of serious issues?
I like to integrate a lot of different modalities. So, and of course, depending on what's going to be most helpful to the client too. Sometimes I do use spirituality. So let's say they have a strong spiritual practice but they've gotten away from it. So that could be part of their treatment plan, is to bring these spiritual practices back. And if that's something that they want to discuss, like talking to their spirit guides, then let's bring it up. Let's talk about it. And let's bring your spirit guide into the session.
I love it.
We go there. Yes.
I love it. Well, but you definitely are breaking new ground.
It's
here.
Powerful stuff. Not all therapists will do this. So I'm not your typical psychotherapist. So we got the spiritual, we got the physical too. So which, you know, getting people up. So just an example, I had somebody recently that was just so down and depressed and not talking much. So I'm like, you know what, we just got to get moving a little bit. So, you know, we just did some gentle movements, did some breath, and then I had her stand up and do some more of this gentle yoga. And then she was able to engage in the session too. So that's part of what I do is using breath work too, meditation, mindfulness, all these different combined modalities, and then getting to brain spotting too. So with brain spotting, I do the yoga and breath work as well, kind of integrating it all together. So
good. Releasing that energy.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that people who seem to suffer from depression, the trauma, the anxiety, they have a lot of extra energy stored in their bodies?
So you said depression or
trauma, the anxiety. Trauma.
Yeah, anxiety, definitely.
Yeah.
And trauma. And the problem, this has come up recently too with a lot of my clients, is they're not moving. Mm. A lot of them work from home and they have anxiety, depression, they're not moving. So getting them moving is part of the plan too. And we do it in session, but then having them, okay, well, how about we start with 15 minutes for walking? Even do that once before we meet again. And then let's add on another day. So doing these gradual small steps so they can start to get moving. And I noticed a difference. Just somebody I saw today, she started to make that a priority, which we've talked about today, and make that intention. And she's a lot brighter. Her depression is starting to lift too. So of course, depression, sometimes we are in that hypoarousal. So that means we are just not where we need to be in that homeostasis in our body. So we're just lethargic, low motivation. Some listeners might know what that's like. And that's when you do have to push against that and still do it. I always say, just like Nike, just do it. Just push yourself. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Yes. Because stagnation is a big problem in our society today.
Oh, for
especially
sure.
Especially with TV and all of the, you know, people.
Internet.
Yeah, absolutely. Internet, for sure. And people become addicted to that. But it's a lot of the information that is, you know, so prolific on the TV, on the internet, that is so negative. So what do you do to suggest to people how to raise their, you know, vibration through positive intake of things? What are you suggesting to them?
So limiting news and some of the negativity as well. I don't say totally cut it out. I don't believe in that. Because I think you do have to have some knowledge what's going on. It's good to have some of that, but you don't want to overdo it, because some people I know will sit in front of that for hours, and that's re-traumatizing. We call that vicarious trauma too, when we have all these difficult things that are going on. So, so finding the positive things too, you know, there are some apps about positive news. I don't know if you knew that, but there's, there are ways to find this, the good stuff, right? But scheduling too, things in your community, how can you get involved to do some things to meet people, to build your own community wherever you are so that you're not so isolated? Because that's the problem in the United States is we're not community-based often. It's very isolating. Everything is about just doing it for yourself. So the more we can connect with others, the more I think that that helps with people's mental health as well. It's getting out there and doing, even just, even if you're introverted, finding one close friend that you can do things with is going to be helpful.
That's huge. What you just said is very huge, because it is a problem in the United States that people are so singular minded. You know, it's the me energy and not the us and we energy. And so that consciousness definitely has to be expanded to include the community, the family, the, you know, somewhere this all got broken down because that's not the way it started, but it's definitely the way it has become. And I find the same issues in people where they need to get out and start meeting people and find groups. And so now you have the online groups where people can socialize online with people, but that's not the same.
No, I say in person, find something now that is safer with COVID. And
absolutely. Yeah, people need to get out and do things and meet people and start moving. I'm a dance instructor, so that for me
it's huge.
And so that's the way we meet every week, is it's phenomenal group of women. I teach belly dance,
so I heard you did. So I used to belly dance.
We have a ball, and it when people come in, and of course everybody has a different expectation of what to expect in the class, but when they come in there, they're really ready to start moving. And to embrace the positivity, you can't get rid of the ladies.
They don't want to leave.
Wanted to. Exactly. They love it. They love it. They love it. They
love it. So, that promotes so much good body image too. And absolutely. You know, it makes you feel so good about your body when you can do those shimmies. And
but you start feeling better.
You do.
For your spiritual, your mental, your physical, your emotional, everything begins to shift. Everything. Yes. Yeah. So I just believe that everyone needs to be moving, doing something that makes them feel good, makes them happy, and find other people who want to do it with you. Because that's really how I started teaching belly dance. Is I love dance. I did it all my life. And then when I moved to Cleveland, I didn't know anybody. So it took me years to really get past, becoming new someplace. And then raising my children, homeschooling. I went through a lot. And then finally, it's time for me again. I'm getting back to dance. And I'm going to find women who want to dance. And that's
love
how
it.
I started. And it's been going strong 14 plus years now. So
amazing.
Yeah. I see a lot of healing through that. So with you, and I feel that that's a counseling session as well for a lot of women. They just need the group. They need the group energy. They need the positive group energy, especially among women, because that could be hard to find. When you find a group of women that are positive and supportive.
Right. Not just a group of women.
Right, exactly. Sisterhood.
Yes. Supportive.
Yes, very important. So tell me more about what this is, your app, your Aura app. What is this?
So I'm a meditation teacher as well. So I teach meditation, breathwork, grounding practices on Aura. It's not my app, but there's a lot of content creators on there. So the cool part about the app is that it will individualize based on what you've used before, some of the meditations that you like. So then each day it'll come up with, here's some that might be similar to the ones that you've liked before. So it's kind of cool with that. So, but yeah, I'm just a meditation teacher on there. So,
okay.
Which is really fun though.
I wasn't familiar with that. Okay.
So yeah.
People can go there and find meditation.
Yeah. Okay. Meditation, breathwork. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of, there's some mental health stuff on there. They're trying to promote that more. So I have some talks on there too, and just some skill building for mental health as well.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest to people who are, finding themselves listening to this now and they find themselves in that situation where they have dealt with some trauma, they are dealing with depression, and they need some help. What would be your suggestion for their first step to help them move out of that?
Yeah, definitely get some counseling, because this is something that you can't usually solve on your own, right? Especially trauma, that's really difficult. And if it's a deeper depression, you know, start with a therapist. Now, I'm more of a somatic based therapist. That means we use the body in therapy. It's more than just doing cognitive approaches. So I recommend that because I'm partial to that. But, you know, figuring out what you want most. Now, holistic therapist, that's another thing to consider. Is that something that might be beneficial to you? It is growing. Like I said, that there are more and more of us out there. That's why I promote that with my podcast, because so many people want the healing that it can provide, right? These different holistic modalities. And there's a psychotherapeutic Reiki out there, which I just released an episode on, which I'm so excited about. There's, you name it, you know, therapists are using tarot in session. Wow. There's so many amazing things that we're using.
Therapist?
Yeah. So the way we use it in therapy is use it more as a projection too, and just use cards and have them pick a card. And as an example, so tell me in this card, let's talk about this card. So we're not giving readings, okay, but okay, using it that way. But still,
it's coming, I guess, huh?
It's coming. And just today, I had somebody pick an affirmation card, and I swear to you, every time I do that and they shuffle them, they pick what we talked about in session that represents something we talked about. And I don't plan it.
It's
so
perfection.
She picked it. It is just amazing.
Yeah, you can't erase the universe from being a
no.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I
so
think
yeah,
it's just more confirmation.
Yeah. So just think about what kind of therapist that you might benefit from. Now, if you want traditional therapy, that's great too. You know, figure out what is where you are in your life, and, you know, and medication sometimes is needed. If you're severely depressed, can't get out of bed, then you might want to consider that as well. So really looking at that, but look at holistic too, and start moving. You know, I think that that's really important to, no matter what you're going through, to keep that up is really taking care of your body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely say stop thinking about the things you've been thinking about, because what I find is that people are habitual in their thoughts. And the reason they feel so bad all the time is because they're always thinking about something that makes them feel bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, when I started doing my naturopathic counseling, healing, my journey in natural medicine 30 years ago, I went through the whole thing, like thinking it was just this, you know, and then you give them an herb, or you tell them this, you tell them what to do here, essential oil, a massage, get this, get that, you know, giving them some advice. And then, you know, as I just continue on and on and on, I found that even when some people did the things they were told to do, it was still an issue. So we had to go deeper and deeper and deeper until eventually I found that it was the mind. It was the mind where I had to go. And maybe that's why I do, you know, the quantum healing hypnosis now, because it is definitely the mind that is holding the energy that needs to be healed in
yes.
some way, shape, or form, and then it's manifesting in your life in some way. So I love the work that you're doing, Kristen. I'm so happy that you're out there making these huge changes to our reality, because we need this. We definitely need the holistic counselors for
absolutely
people who want that holistic healing, for sure. Now, Chris, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get where you are? How did you, you know, get on this path and go from being a traditional counselor to now implementing holistic techniques in your
counseling? Yeah, this is not where I thought I'd be, honestly, because I was a school counselor before for 16 years and got tired of that. I started to do a little bit of breath work then and kind of dabbled in that. And that, you know, that it's interesting though, because if I think back, I started to really pick up some holistic things along the way and was interested, but this was before, you know, we had all the TikToks and internet. So I would have to get books out, you know, actual books.
Right.
And read them.
Right.
So it wasn't anything, you know, on social media. There was no social media. So I found these things on my own. And was starting to learn. I always had some interest, but then as I grew, you know, I started to meditate more. I had gone to a Buddhist group that taught meditation and learned, you know, a lot about Buddhism and mindfulness, and just became more and more interested. The more I learned, the more I wanted to learn. And it really just excited something in me because I saw the benefits in myself. I saw how healing this can be. It's on a biological level, you're changing your brain if you meditate all the time. Like, I don't do it every day. I do it every day, but not for hours is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So the more we do this, the more it's going to change your brain. It's going to change who you are in a good way. So I'm less reactive to stress. I'm able to manage so much more than I ever could before. What a wonderful stress reliever. And I teach other people now because I've done this for so long. And then I found yoga and learned that I could use yoga in clinical sessions. So this was like mind blowing to me because I didn't think that was possible, which I'm sure listeners probably don't think that was possible either, but it is. I'm here to tell you it is, to be able to integrate these. And then I got my teacher training and finished that in 2019, which I never intended for that to happen, honestly, but I just loved it so much and fell in love with yoga in a daily practice. I'm like, I have to do this. So this is who I am, body, mind, spirit. This is who I am as a person and as a clinician. So it's not like, this is only what I do in clients. This is who I am. This is my personal practice too. So it's kind of I've changed my whole lifestyle. Yeah.
So it changed your life first, and yes, then you started implementing it.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, how did your colleagues respond to you as you started to bring these different techniques in? Did you share that with other people?
Probably not initially, because there's something I call coming out of the holistic closet for therapists, because we're licensed professionals. So a lot of people get nervous and live in that fear place of, you know, people are going to report us to the board and, you know, that we can't do this. But from my understanding, and I teach ethics on this right now too, for other therapists, that we can do this. This is within our scope of practice, as long as we get the training, supervision, and do what we need to do to make sure we're competent in it, that we can do these practices and breath work and meditation. And those are research-based. Yoga is research-based, that they help reduce anxiety, depression. So just remembering that too. Now I forgot the question.
It was how did your colleagues respond?
So most people have been supportive. Not everybody wants to do this, which is fine. We got to have different kinds of therapists because there's all different kinds of people out there. But people are more excited. I'm on the cusp right now of building a course for therapists to start integrating into sessions. And I'm finding more and more people. And it's funny to me that now people will hear about it and they're like, oh yeah, I want to take a course too. So more and more therapists are interested in wanting to do this as well. So I think people are realizing the benefits because they've taken yoga and they're realizing that, wow, this could be a really powerful modality to integrate. And what an amazing gift that we can give to people to offer this in sessions.
And it's just one example.
Yeah,
you can share with
absolutely them. Yeah, well, and we're starting to find more community too with other therapists. We're coming together and be able to support each other so that we can come out of the closet, the holistic closet. But you know I've interviewed a lot of people about this too, and you know, I think it is ancestral too. Like, people are afraid sometimes to even say that they are using holistic modalities because think back to like witches and the witch trials. And yeah, I think it's in our DNA sometimes that people have that deep-rooted fear.
Oh, it's definitely, it's in your memory. It's in your DNA memory for sure. You know, when I do quantum healing hypnosis, we go back into people's past lives and the things that people have been murdered for, you know, just picking up a book. So that's one of the things that is still inside of us. And that may be some of the reasons why people don't want to read, or you know, or have more of an aversion to reading, because it is in your DNA that people were burned at the stake and hung and all those horrible deaths that people were made to watch. You had to go to the public square or you would be next if you weren't there. So you know, when I do these quantum healing hypnosis, I learn a lot about history through people's experiences. And it's amazing at the stuff that has happened on this planet. And you would say, how did this ever happen? But yes, it has, you know, and it's just incredible. And yes, it's in our DNA. And so we have to overcome, we have to push through, because it's something there just blocking you from doing the thing that's right for you, because it's something that you weren't supposed to do a long time ago and you're remembering it. So, and then
yeah,
belief systems where people don't believe in many lives and all of that sort of thing. But I'm telling you, the more you live on this planet, the more you study, the more your mind is expanded to what's really going on here. And it's a lot
it is
that we are
yeah,
learning.
For sure.
Yeah, we're learning about. So this is awesome. I really am happy to have you here. Is there a moment in your life that you want to share with everyone that you began to see that you needed more in your life, that something brought you to another level of wanting to help people in a different way? And even for yourself, like you said, it was your own journey. So is there a story or something you want to share with us about your awakening, moving into this level of consciousness?
Yeah. I think that if I look back, you know, one thing that stands out in my mind was when I was in the school system, I had some administrators that really didn't like counselors. We're just going to say it. And I'll never forget this meeting they had with me. And that was a turning point in my life, I think, because I came out of that meeting a hysterical, blubbering mess, basically, was on the ground just crying because they were so horrible to me. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't come back here. And, you know, of course, call my husband. He's like, oh, my God, do I have to pick you up? He's just like, what is happening? But at that point, you know, I went into my own therapy to figure out what I wanted and just knew that I had to leave the school system. I had to take care of myself. And that kind of propelled me forward to be able to be brave and, you know, get my licensure, be able to do something else, because that was a leap of faith to be able to leave a state job and to move into my own basically contractor business. And that was very, very scary and like, oh, benefits. And anyone who's done that knows how scary that can be. I think that was a big turning point. But once I found yoga and meditation and started to do these practices on a regular basis, there was something that switched in me as I developed my spiritual practices too, and talking to my spirit guides that this is where I need to be and this is what I need to be doing, that there was some kind of connection at that point. And I realized that so many people can be helped through these practices. And I just felt called to do that and, you know, connecting with spirit more and more and developing my intuition as a therapist too and as a person. So I used that in sessions and had connected with some of the archangels about that. And part of what I have is I see things. So I will see like, it's hard to even describe, like different things in my mind during sessions. And one of the archangels goes, just share that.
Right.
So, yeah. And so I started to do that. I was like, okay, I see you surrounded by a brick wall and you can't get out, you know, just as an example of someone. So I would see these things in my mind and that's, they're just like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just so powerful to have that ability to share that with clients in session too.
Well, good for you. Good for you. Good for you, really. And following your inner guidance, you know, following your inner guidance. And when you see those visions, that's real. That's real.
It's real.
Connecting. Yes.
Yes.
The more that you shared, the more you got confident to share.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Oh, for sure. It's just such, it makes for absolutely phenomenal experiences. And you know, the other part I just want to bring up too, is people sometimes are afraid if they're holistic and they believe in spirit guides or these practices or the other side to even bring that up, because sometimes people downplay it. Oh, that's not real. We can't talk about that here. You know, I've had people say, you're the only therapist I could ever talk to that I trusted.
Wow.
That I could bring this in, you know. So it's what a gift for that these people too, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is the time. This is the time, because so many people are having those experiences. Like you said, and going to a regular counselor, they're not able to share that stuff. And
that I just can't imagine. Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have people all the time that contact me and they say, I've been to every doctor, every professional there is, they can't help me because this has nothing to do with, you know, my physical body. It's something spiritual. I need someone to help me. And it's definitely everything that spirit says to me, that if you take care of the spirit, then you take care of everything else, because everything is a product of your spiritual energy. So you just said that yourself, is when you started to do the yoga and the meditation, your whole life began to change and you got the confidence and the, you know, the faith in yourself to go forward in your own business. So definitely people need to listen to their inner guidance.
Yes. Listen.
Yeah. Yes. And it will guide them where they need to go. But you still have to have courage.
And that's faith. It.
Yes. You got to have faith that it's going to all work out. But you do have to have the courage or you will never take the first step.
And it's not always been easy. So, you know, there are struggles and, you know, when you have your own business, there are low points, but it's just having that faith and knowing that spirit has you. And I just had this download this week too, that no matter what, they got my back.
There you go. I love it. I love it. And when you have that, then you can just go forward. But you know, I think some of us, we have to shed, we have to go through a shedding process when we make that leap. Because we are still trying to maintain a lifestyle that may be unnecessary because you've been conditioned that you have to have these things or those things, this brand name and that so-called. And when you're trying to live the life of the Joneses, you all haven't seen that movie, The Joneses, you need to watch it. It
yes.
is hilarious. It is hilarious. But it is all about trying to, you know, compare your life to someone else. We have to stop doing that. We have to stop doing that. We have to start living a more authentic life because your journey is so unique. It is your own. And you can't follow what other people are doing just because other people are doing it. And, you know, we have to learn how to tune in and tap into the inner self. And this is why I brought Chris on for Awaken the Goddess, because there are people out there, there are counselors out there that you can go to. Everybody is not doing the old way, you know, who just wants to put you on medication. I have a lot of people say to me, I'm done with that. I don't want any more of that. You know, people say I was going to commit suicide if I would have stayed on those drugs. So many people have said that to me. So yeah, there's a time when you may need some help. But remember, there's alternatives, there's other answers, there's different ways to go about finding solutions. And so there are people like Chris out there. And again, if you'd like to connect with Chris, we'll put her information in our information under the video so that you can reach out to her. And Chris, what state are you in?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, on the mark. Yep. I love it. Very good. Very good. A lot of good stuff going on in North Carolina.
Absolutely. Yeah. Beautiful state.
Yes. So I'm so happy to have you on. Thank you for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Wherever you are in your life, I think it's just important to, if you want to make a change, just don't wait. Just do it now. Just take that leap of faith, because I know I didn't. And let me tell you, it's made all the difference.
Good for you. Good for you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chris, for joining us today. Yes. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. I leave you in the love and in the light of the infinite creator. Have a beautiful week ahead. Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Awaken the Goddess. For more information on our guest today, please visit us at awakenthehealing.com or follow us on Instagram at awakenthehealing, on Twitter at awakenforlife, and on Facebook at awakenthehealing. Please subscribe to our podcast to receive alerts of new episodes. We look forward to sharing more stories of transformation with you and our next episode of Awaken the Goddess.